it down, man.
Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. It is a Boom Revision. It's on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the walk down memory lane of free speech. It is. I was thinking maybe it would be the American Top 40 of free speech. Maybe I'll do that some other day, but yeah, it's a walk down memory lane. Well, you know, American Top 40 is a walk down memory lane. It really is. Casey Kasem. Friend of the show, by the way. Is he a friend? Well, actually, he's dead, but he would be a friend of the show. So, anyway, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. Yeah, okay, like I said, Casey Kasem, otherwise known as Scooby-Doo, well, actually, he's known as Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo story. He's friend of the show. I met Casey Kasem back in the 80s. He and his Amazon wife, who was very tall and had a blonde crew cut, pretty, but, you know, with short hair, and then a mutual friend of ours and myself, we went out for dinner at a Lebanese restaurant in Georgetown, in Washington, D.C., and I had a record, but you know something? I didn't push the record. In fact, I didn't even mention the record. And looking back on it, I'm probably the only person in the in Casey Kasem's whole life, because he was a big disc jockey. For those of you who don't know, he had American Top 40. American Top 40! And he would count down the biggest hits in the USA. It would be a countdown show every Sunday morning, which is why I didn't want to go to church. Sometimes I was under a little bit of pressure to go to church, but no, I want to listen to American Top 40. So I guess that's why America stopped being a Christian country, is because they wanted to listen to American Top 40. I might have played a little bit of a role, but don't blame it on Casey Kasem, because that was syndicated. And I guess in some markets it was Saturday. I don't know. It was recorded. It wasn't a live show. So I'm not sure. At any rate, yeah, Casey Kasem, and then, you know, I wouldn't say we became fast friends, but I called him up a couple times, or he'd call me a couple times, and here's the thing about Casey Kasem, okay? He was big-time anti-Zionist. You know, he was Lebanese, and, you know, like, of course, in the 80s, Israel, I guess, what, Israel had invaded Lebanon in 78, and did they stay there until 82, something like that? And then, of course, they invaded again, or they launched a war. They bombed the hell out of Beirut in 2006, and, you know, we talked about it at that time. But at any rate, yeah, friend of the show, walked down memory lane, and, yeah, I had a record, and I didn't mention it to him, never sent it to him, and it never sold. And how many copies of that record did I sell? I don't know, maybe zero. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to go back and check my records of my record. But anyway, that's that. So walk down memory lane. You know, I was thinking, It's always nice to be friendly to people who don't have friends. You know, you can be a nice, friendly friend. And when I was in college, there was this guy, Bob. And Bob didn't have any friends. He was kind of overweight. And he'd sit in his dorm room and he'd listen to I guess he had an 8-track tape, and the 8-track tape, you know, it was Led Zeppelin, their fourth album, the one that had Stairway to Heaven on it. But I think the other song on the same track as Stairway to Heaven was Rock and Roll. Well, hey, you know, this is a Boom Revision, So let's play some rock and roll. So he liked this song, and he didn't really have any friends. And I thought, well, it's nice to be friendly. So I dropped by and I said, hey, you like Led Zeppelin, eh? Yeah. And so we talked a little bit about Led Zeppelin, and hey, you like math, don't you? He said, yeah, he likes math. And, you know, we talked about math, and I dropped by every now and then, try to be friendly, because he didn't have any friends. And, you know, I thought, okay, well, it's good to be friendly, get him out of his shell a little bit, but I thought what would be really nice would be to kind of, you know, get him connected with some other people in the school. So I went by the cafeteria one day and I said, okay, I'm going to come by with Bob in a little bit, and when he comes in, I want everybody to wish him a happy birthday. And so everybody said, yeah, okay. So I go off to Bob's room, and, you know, he's in there listening to Led Zeppelin, rock and roll, doing his math. And I say, hey, let's go by and have dinner. And he says, nah, I don't want to have dinner today. I'm just gonna listen to Led Zeppelin and do math. I said, come on, at least come on, have a cup of coffee. And so I persuade him, and so, you know, we walk into the cafeteria, and everybody jumps up and says, happy birthday, Bob! And his face turns bright red, and he just does an about face and goes right, stomps right out of the cafeteria. You know, I catch up to him. I say, what's the matter, Bob? He says, it's not my birthday. You know, you try to be nice to people. But, I don't know. He never talked to me again. But you can't blame me. I did try. Well, okay. So that's rock and roll. Last year, I had a show. It was the White Boy Summer Show. And, you know, this year I had a White Boy Summer road trip. And that was kind of fun. And, you know, I just told... I talk story. Tulsi knows what I'm talking about. Talk story. That's Hawaiian slang. Just, it's like shoot the breeze is you talk story. So I talked story. And, you know, this year I had my my White Boy Summer road trip with my dogs. And we saw, oh, gosh, who did we see? We saw Mike Rivero. We saw Jeremy. We saw Philbert and David Duke and Dave Gahari and and we saw Mark Dankoff. Went to the Alamo with Mark Dankoff. That was pretty awesome. And by the way, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but big news coming about Mark Dankoff. Okay, so I'm just going to foreshadow. Big news coming about Mark Dankoff, okay?
He's got a new show on RBN that will follow my show every Friday. It's called The Dankoff Report. Shh!
So, yeah, that's a road trip. Now, I used to take road trips. Sometimes I would take the road trips with my thumb. In fact, last time I had been in those parts of Texas, I wound up... Oh, and of course I went by RBN Studios in Round Rock. 109 degrees. It was 109 degrees when I went by Round Rock. That's the hottest I've ever been. I mean, it was a dry heat, so it didn't feel that bad, but still I had to be careful with, you know, Mr. T and all. But, and then, you know, went through Houston, past the Astrodome. I hadn't been past the Astrodome since... the 1970s, I think. And I had hitchhiked down there. And, you know, I'd hitchhike around. Oh, yeah, we got a hitchhiking song. No, not that one. So, yeah, I hitchhiked to Texas and hitchhiked to Florida and I hitchhiked to Canada. And, you know, the thing about hitchhiking to Canada, I hitchhiked to Canada because I wanted to, Mark Dankoff knows what I'm talking about, because I wanted to know how to avoid the draft. I didn't want to get drafted. The draft, they didn't have a draft anymore. Mike Gravel had stopped it. Mike Gravel, the senator from Alaska, he managed to stop it. But I think he filibustered it. At any rate, but I still wanted to know, because you never know when these Jews are going to start a war, right? I mean, honestly. Now, the 70s, were the Jews starting wars? Well, I don't know. I mean, you could look at the Vietnam War, and that was, Walt Whitman Rostow? What was his name? Walt something Rostow? Walt Rostow. And he was the deputy national security advisor, and I guess he then went on to become just a regular national security advisor. But he was, according to Dr. Duke, and there's certainly a lot of other backing for it, he was really the prime architect of the Vietnam War, and he was a big Jew. Anyway, I mean, okay, even though this is kind of a boomer vision, you think I'm not going to talk about the Jews, especially amidst all the hoaxes that we're under? But anyway, so I hitchhiked up to Canada. I wanted to see how to avoid the draft. I wanted to go over the border in through the woods, right? So, you know, I hitchhiked up Route 9, you know, through Manahawkin and Toms River, and you know, you cross the border from New Jersey into New York, going up Plattsburgh, and eventually you get to Champlain, right? But you go through the Catskills, you go through the Adirondacks. The Adirondacks are actually really, really nice in the autumn. This was early autumn. And then, like, get to Champlain, and rather than crossing on Route 9, you can go off to through some farms and just cross over a little barbed wire fence. It's no big deal. Is it barbed wire, or was it split timber? I don't even remember, but crossover is nice day. But here's one of the things that was curious to me, you know, coming from New Jersey, and by the way, I think the Mason-Dixon line, it does go right through Ocean County, and it, you know, if you're talking about Long Beach Island, the Mason-Dixon line, it hits the Atlantic Ocean right at about, I want to say, 8th Street in Surf City. And right by Bill, I want to say Bill Wallace's Flamingo Golf Course, right by there, the putt-putt golf course there. That's where the Mason-Dixon line actually. So a big hunk of New Jersey, including about half of Ocean County, is below the Mason-Dixon line. The thing that you notice is that there are rocks everywhere. Like, you're up there in Canada, or, you know, upstate New York, whatever. But you're up there in Canada, and like, you're in a field, and there are these giant boulders everywhere. It's like, how did they get there, right? Because I never saw those. You don't see them south of the Mason-Dixon line, that's for sure. So why are there these boulders everywhere? Well, the thing is, it's left over from glaciers. And I do know about snowmen. And you make a snowman, you roll up that snowball, it gets bigger and bigger. But while you're rolling it around, you get little bits of gravel and rocks get in there. Then you make your snowman, and it's big. But then it melts, because it always melts. And it melts, you'd think it would just melt into a puddle, but actually melts into this little pile of gravel and stuff that you, from your driveway. Well, here you are in the middle of your yard, and there's gravel from your driveway there. Well, that's what the glaciers do. So they're, you know, they do their glacier thing, and they scrape up all of this, these rocks and boulders, and then they melt in some, you know, somewhere else, and all of a sudden you got all these boulders. So that was one of the things I remember. Anyway, though, you keep going up, you get to Montreal, and then you hang a right and you go to Quebec, and I hung out there for a while, and it was French speaking. Why not? And I met a girl, and her name was Sylvie. I think half the girls in Quebec were named Sylvie back then. And so I had a legitimate girlfriend in Canada, you know, and I'd go back, and you know, the kids in high school, they always say, "Oh, you know, why don't you have a girlfriend?" I said, "Oh, I have a girlfriend, but she's in Canada." You know, you always say she's in Canada or California, somewhere, you know, where you can't really be expected to show up at a party with them, and you know, long distance phone calls and whatnot. It's too expensive. But I actually did have a girlfriend in Canada. So anyway, I'm coming back though. Here's the thing, I'm coming back, and I would hitchhike. Most people would hitchhike with a backpack. I'd hitchhike with a suitcase, because if you hitchhike with a suitcase, then people think that, like, oh, you're not a hitchhiker, but like your car broke down, and you know, so it was a good way of getting picked up. So I get picked up, you know, I get picked up. But anyway, so I'm going south from Quebec, and instead of going through Montreal again, I thought, okay, I'm going to explore the border with Maine, right? So I'm going down south, and it wasn't the New Brunswick border, but it's the Quebec border with Maine. And you know, the thing is, actually, I'd been picked up, and somebody let me spend the night at their family's house. And so, you know, I woke up in the morning. It was pretty close to the Maine border, and I took a shower and washed my hair. And I had long hair, and I washed my hair. But the thing is, everything was in French, and so I washed my hair. It turned out I washed my hair, instead of with shampoo, I washed it with conditioner. And like I didn't know what conditioner was anyway. So anyway, I had to, like, this, instead of having clean hair, I just had, like, it just made my hair extra greasy, and it was long. But whatever, you know, I just thought it was wet, right? And you know, if you have long hair, it takes a while for it to dry. So I didn't realize that I'd used the wrong stuff. You know, I knew it didn't make a lot of suds, but I didn't realize it was the wrong stuff. But then my hair just never dried. It just never dried. It just stayed wet and greasy all day long. Well, anyway, I get to, I get to the border around 4 p.m. maybe. And of course, I didn't want to go across the border the regular way. I wanted to go through the woods, because I needed to know these things. So I go in, and you know, I've got my suitcase, and I'm walking around in the woods with my suitcase. And, you know, actually, I start getting kind of turned around, and you know, the sun goes down. It was early autumn. Sun goes down, and now it's dark. Now, there was a moon, but it's pretty dark, and I'm just walking around, and then I notice, like, my feet are starting to get wet, and of course, my hair was still wet. My feet are starting to get wet, and I realize I'm in a beaver swamp, and beavers had knocked down a bunch of trees. They chewed down these trees, so I could walk on the trees, but underneath the trees it was a swamp. And so I'm walking, trying to balance on these trees, going across a beaver swamp with a suitcase and greasy wet hair.
Thank you for all the joy and fame. Picture show, second balcony, was a place with me.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Now, the bird, well, everybody knows that the bird is a winner. No, well,
and so I'm walking, trying to balance on these trees, going across a beaver swamp with a suitcase and greasy, wet hair. I realize I'm probably not going to be sitting in Mr. Levin's class the next morning for high school for, you know, history. That's not going to happen. So I walk around, and wouldn't you know it, I am lost. And I'm so lost, I don't even know what country I'm in. I didn't know whether I was in Canada or America or, you know, Lithuania for that matter. I just didn't know. And so I'm walking, and it's getting later and later. And of course, I don't have a watch, so I don't know how late it is. But, you know, I'm walking around. And then finally, off in the distance, way off in the distance, I hear what sounds like a truck accelerating, you know, a big, big truck shifting gears. And I'm thinking, okay, I must have gone so far that I'm at the next border crossing. So I'm just going to keep going. So I'm going and I'm following that border crossing. And, you know, there was a moon, but the moon had come up. But I don't know. Like, normally, I didn't have a map, and I didn't exactly know the layout of the land. So maybe I should have been able to, keep track of things better. But at any rate, I'm going to the towards the sound. And every now and then, you know, I'd hear another truck. It'd slow down, and then it was, you know, slow down. You'd hear it slowing down, it'd stop, and then a minute later, it'd start going again. I figure, okay, that's a border crossing. So I finally get there, and I see a border crossing. There's a little cabin, and, there's a truck pulled up, and there's a little light on in the cabin. I think, okay, all I got to do is crawl past that cabin and I'll be back in the USA. So I get to the road, and then I crawl past the cabin on the side of the road, making sure that the border guards don't see me. I crawl and I crawl and crawl, and I pass it up, and then I get far enough away that I think I can stand up and start walking. I stand up and start walking, and I see this sign, and it says, "Bienvenue à Canada." I'd gone back to Canada. I had gotten so lost that, no, I hadn't gone to the next border crossing. I had come right back to where I started from, and I was so disoriented. I went the wrong way. Moon's way up high in the sky, too high, really, to be of much use. And, I got to crawl back into America again. So I crawl back into America. So, you know, you can be so lost that you don't even know what country you're in. Yes, you can. All right. Well, anyway, here's another story. I hate it when this happens. Okay. So when I was a kid, there was this guy, Paul, and nobody liked Paul. He went to the Catholic school. We went to the public school, and he was a big kid. And, if you turned the corner and you saw Paul there, you would turn that corner right back and go back where you came from before he noticed you. Because, you know, honestly, I don't even remember. Did he actually ever beat us up? Was there anything? Like, he would start talking really tough. But, I don't know. All I knew is that nobody wanted to hang around with Paul. He went to the Catholic school, and you just tried to stay out of his way. Well, anyway, one day, my friend Sam and I, Sam says, you know, Paul, he built a fort in the woods. And I said, okay, well, let's tear it apart. So we go down to the woods, and he had built a fort, you know, out of, like, it had Venetian blind for a roof, and it had maybe some broken screen door as a wall, and it was leaned up against a tree. It was a fort. It was a kid fort. And, we tore it apart because, you know, nobody likes Paul, right? Well, anyway, I don't know how Paul found out that we tore apart his fort, probably because we told everybody. But anyway, he found out that we tore apart his fort. Now, so one day, you know, Sam and I were just walking around the neighborhood doing our kid stuff, and we turned the corner, and, well, there's Paul. There's Paul. And he's got a chain. It was like a big chain, maybe for a giant bike lock or something, but he had a big chain. Maybe it was a motorcycle lock. It was a big chain. It was the kind of chain that Joe Biden would have used to scare off Corn Pop. It was that kind of chain. So we turn around and start running. Now, the thing is, I was fast, and I could outrun any white kid. And if you give me three steps, can you give me three steps? If you give me three steps, I could outrun any black kid because, yeah, maybe some of them could sprint faster, but after 50 yards, they'd start tiring down, and I had better, stamina, and I could outrun. Sam, on the other hand, not so much. So anyway, Sam and I are running to Sam's house, and we just get there. You know, Paul's not very fast. He was a big kid, and he had a chain. He's not very fast. But the thing is, we get there, then Sam can't find his key. And so we're, like, at the side door, and Sam's fumbling around, and he just gets the door unlocked. I jump in.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Goodbye world, I'll catch you later on. For my consciousness is gone, and reality is wrong.
And he just gets the door unlocked, opens it, I jump in. Well, Paul goes and grabs Sam by the collar and drags him out to the driveway. Starts beating him with a chain. Okay? So, it's like, well, what am I going to do? I can cower in the basement for a while, but he'll probably come get me after he's done beating Sam with a chain. So, I go next door, and there's this, like, greaser, kind of like a 50s greaser kind of kid. He was older. I don't know, he might have been late teens or something. He was like Fonzarelli, kind of like Fonzarelli with red hair. We call him Rusty. And I didn't know him too well, but he knew Paul. I mean, he knew Paul and he knew Sam. And so I said, Paul's beating Sam with a chain. So Rusty comes over and, says to Paul, he says, hey, want to smoke a cigar? He had a cigar, right? And Paul's like, no, I want to beat Sam with a chain. He's no. It's much cooler to smoke a cigar. Forget about beating Sam with a chain. So anyway, they go off and they stop beating Sam with a chain, and Sam and I go back into the house. But here's the thing. So Paul's mom found out, later that day, maybe the next day, Paul's mom shows up. I was at Sam's house. Paul's mom shows up with Paul. Like, she's dragging him by the ear, knocks on the door, makes Paul apologize to us. Now, of course, we like torn apart his fort. But anyway, Paul apologizes to us, and she made sure that he was going to be our friend. She was a war bride. She was from Germany. She had a thick German accent. Paul's dad was part Cherokee. He's from Tennessee. And it was a wild family. So we became friends with Paul, but it was a wild family. Like, Paul had he had this scar on his leg. He said, what happened to your leg? Why you got that big scar there? He said, well, my brother hit me with an axe. Why'd your brother hit you with an axe? Well, because I threw a cinder block at his head. So it was that kind of family. And he wound up in the Boy Scouts with us, and we're camping, and of course he'd bring his cigars with him, and would be like in the tent, and then the scoutmaster would come, and he'd put out his cigar in my boot, and it's like, well, okay, he's using my boot as an ashtray. On the other hand, it could be worse. He could be beating me with a chain, so I guess it's all right. The moral of the story, I still don't know it yet, but maybe it's something like karma, because things happen to you, and then something else happens. So in the around 1980, I was in Japan, and I had a little apartment, and in Tokyo. And then there was this guy, and he was another American. His name, Crazy Patty. And, I met him when he wasn't so crazy. But then he ran out of his medications, and then he got kind of crazy. Anyway, so one evening, he's over at my house, and he just starts, going crazy. And, I wound up, running out of my house, and he's in there, and he's ransacking the place or whatever. He's like, well, and the thing is, my girlfriend was supposed to come over the next day, and I didn't have a phone. And this is the thing a lot of people forget, is that 40 years ago, you didn't have Snapchat or Facebook or whatever, Messenger. You didn't have this stuff. And the way people communicated was by phone, except I didn't have a phone. And so I knew my girlfriend wasn't, and she wasn't at her house that night, so I couldn't call her. I knew she was staying with another girl on the other side of Tokyo, and I had been there once before. It was in a neighborhood called Asakusa, where they have a big temple there. We'd gone there because there's a big temple festival or something, and I met my girlfriend's friend. So I thought, okay, well, I got to go warn her not to come, because Crazy Patty's at my house, and that's not going to be good, and I'm not going to be at my house and with Crazy Patty there. So I get on the train, and I said, well, I got on the train. I got about halfway across town, but then it was the last train. The train stopped because it was after midnight. It was after midnight, literally. So I get out of the train station, and I'm walking around, and of course, you didn't have GPS back then. And there were maps. Police station. Sometimes there are maps on the side of the street and in front of police stations. There were maps, and so I'm trying to navigate and get to where I need to get to. And then I passed by a junk pile, and there was a bicycle in there, except it didn't have a chain on it, but I could use it as kind of a scooter. So I'm using this bike as a scooter, and I'm scooting across Tokyo, and around, I don't know, 1 or 2 a.m., I finally get to Asakusa. But I'd never been, I had been to this girl's house once, but all the houses looked the same. So I wasn't exactly sure which one it was, and I couldn't just go knocking on random doors at 2 in the morning. So they used to have a lot of telephone booths. You all remember telephone booths? That used to be a thing. There were telephone booths. And inside the telephone booths, there were telephone books. So, me being resourceful, I go to a telephone booth and take out the telephone book. But of course, you know, all the names are in Japanese, and they write in kind of a funny language. I don't know if you ever noticed that. So I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know. And then some Japanese person walks by, and he thinks it's a little bit curious that there's some white guy in a telephone booth staring at the pages of a Japanese telephone book. And so I hope you find this interesting, because it's a walk down memory lane for me. Anyway, he wound up helping me look up, I knew the girl's name, but of course I didn't know the dad's name, but fortunately the name wasn't so common, there weren't too many people with that name, and we could just look at the name, and you know, the name, the number would be there, and the address would be there. And we were able to figure out, okay, this is probably it, because this is within a couple of blocks of where we are. And so we figure, okay, this is it. And so we place the calls. 2 in the morning. It's 2 in the morning. And the dad answers, and I didn't do the talking. This good Samaritan did the talking, and left the message, don't come over to Patrick's house tomorrow because there's some insane foreigner who's there. Okay, well, that was mission accomplished. The only thing is, by that time, it's like 3 a.m., and the trains have stopped running, and I'm on the other side of town with a bicycle that doesn't have a chain on it. And I can't go home because there's some insane person in my house. So I wind up walking to Tokyo Station and waited for the trains to start, and then I just went to another city for a while. And by the time I came back, Crazy Patty had been arrested and deported. And so I guess all's well that ends well. Okay, well, anyway, just imagine that. Okay, you got a crazy person who's, like, potentially violent. And I think he'd wound up going into a restaurant, and they said, please sit down. So he sat down, and they gave him a menu, and he ordered some food. And then he acted surprised when they expected him to pay for it, because they said, please sit down, right? Anyway, imagine deporting somebody just because they're crazy and they commit crime and they're potentially violent. It would never occur to anybody in a Western country that that's something that could be done. Now, I was never deported. I was told by the immigration people that I had to leave the country because my visa expired, or was going to expire, and I said, well, I want to extend my visa so I can learn Japanese. And they said, well, actually, your Japanese sounds good enough, so I think you should just leave. And, you know, so... But that's not the same as being deported, right? Anyway, we do have time for another trip down memory lane. And this was... I was hitchhiking again. This was in New Jersey. Well, where was this? This was in New Jersey. And I was hitchhiking. It was like around Cherry Hill, Mount Holly, that area. And I was hitchhiking. So I get a ride, and the guy picks me up. And says, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to Canada. See my girlfriend. He says, no, you're not. I said, what do you mean? He says, no, you're going to Atlantic City with me. I said, oh, that's not good. And, you know, we're driving, and I'm thinking, this isn't good. Well, it goes from bad to worse, kind of like Liz Truss. You know, she becomes prime minister, the queen drops dead, and then things really started going downhill. So, you know, he's talking, and I realize that this was a guy that, like, some years earlier, I had built a fort. There was, like, this abandoned house. There was an abandoned house near a used car lot. And my friend Carrie and I had gone in there, and we built a fort. You know, we brought some paint and stuff like that. But we knew that the person who had the house, who had inhabited the house before it was abandoned was pretty creepy, because there was, you know, there was a lot of like girly magazines and whatnot, and they, whatever, they weren't, anyway, they were weird, okay? And so I'm realizing that this was the guy that owned the house, and that this wasn't a good situation. Well, fortunately, you know, he was drinking whiskey, and you know, he's having me pour whiskey, and I'm handing him the whiskey. Well, then he like spills the whiskey, and in his alarm drops a cigarette in his lap, and so now he's got like his crotch is on fire, and so no, it's true, and so his crotch is on fire. And I think maybe his lighter blew up in his pocket or something. Like, all this is just complete chaos. And he slows down the car fast enough. I mean, slow enough for me to jump out. I jump out of the car while it's still moving. He's in there with his pants on fire, literally with his pants on fire. And I run, and I stick my thumb out, and I basically stop this truck, right? And I said, I'll pay you. I'll pay you. Just, well, anyway, so... they take me away, and all's well that ends well, you know what I mean? But this is the thing. I'm getting serious for a second. This was the thing back in the 70s. I mean, hitchhiking actually used to be respectable. And I know my dad had hitchhiked. He hitchhiked to Berkeley, and then he hitchhiked to New York, you know, going from... Berkeley University to Columbia University. He hitchhiked from coast to coast. Ross Perot hitchhiked all over the place. He used to talk about Ralph Nader. He told me stories. He told me stories about hitchhiking. You know, he, the reason this is true, true story. The reason he got into, writing that book that launched his career, Unsafe at Any Speed, about the Corvair, is because he was hitchhiking. And he kept seeing these horrible accidents with, you know, cars on fire, and a lot of them involved the Corvair, right? But he saw all these accidents when he was hitchhiking, you know, going to, where was he going? He was from Connecticut. He went to Yale Law School. I don't know why he would be hitchhiking so much, but anyways, hitchhiking. And that's why he told me this. That's why he wrote Unsafe at Any Speed. But the thing is, people used to be able to hitchhike, and it was respectable. You get around. It was like, you know, just a friendly thing to do. But what happened is it started getting creepy, and by the 1970s, it was largely homosexuals out there looking for, you know, young teenagers or whatever. And the whole hitchhiking industry got shut down. So when was the last time, seriously, when was the last time you saw somebody hitchhiking? But you used to see it all the time. And it used to be a real thing. And I never hitchhiked all the way to the West Coast. But I hitchhiked in Inner Mongolia. I think that counts. So hitchhiked in Inner Mongolia. I hitchhiked in Morocco, which I don't recommend. I hitchhiked in... a bunch of countries. Anyway, so there you go. Hitchhiked in Bulgaria. That was a trip. Well, if we're not at the end of this show, we ought to be. Okay, well, it's not the end of the show. I thought it was the end of the show. It's not the end of the show. So, what does that mean? Well, it means it's time for me to turn to the news and see what's going on. All right, well, sometimes I look, when I want to look at normie conservative news, I look at the Gateway Pundit. It's boomer news. I don't particularly like it, but yeah, just a few headlines. Okay, so here's one. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel forced security team to sign non-disclosure statements after she was passed out drunk and had to be removed from Michigan football game in a wheelchair. All right, well, here's the thing, okay? So this... Dana Nessel, she's some Jewish lesbian. That's the Michigan Attorney General. The Michigan Secretary of State is some other woman. The Michigan Governor is Gretchen Slutmore. So, I mean, what the hell's going on? Is it like a dictatorship? Or I guess you wouldn't call it a dictatorship. You'd call it a slut-tatorship, maybe. But I don't know what the heck's going on over there. Now, reading this article, it said something about her being the first openly gay statewide official in Michigan. I was like, wait a minute. I mean, I've been telling everybody that Jennifer Granholm, who is the she's the Secretary of Energy, and she used to be the governor of Michigan, and I've been telling everybody she was a lesbian. I was sure she was a lesbian. I guess we'll be right back.
Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a bitch.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
OPEC Plus is expected to announce a cut in oil production today. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The oil producers cartel of OPEC Plus is meeting today and is expected to announce the largest cut in oil production since the beginning of the COVID pandemic. Some are forecasting a cut of 1 million barrels a day. That would obviously raise the price of oil and in turn the cost of gasoline. And clearly, a steep increase in gas prices this close to election time would be a disaster for the Democrats. So the Biden administration has launched a full-scale pressure campaign hoping to stop the production reduction. Remember when America was energy independent and a net exporter of energy? Ah, the good old days. If only Biden had not attacked American oil producers, stopped pipelines, and ended leases, and drained the nation's strategic oil reserves. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Oh, I mean bad. Bad.
Okay, we're right back. Anyway, reading this article about Jennifer Granholm, sure she was a lesbian. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know. Apparently, she's not. She's non-gay, married to some dude. So I got that wrong, and I apologize, and I issue a correction. But I mean, come on, she looks like a lesbian. All right, and then Kanye back in the news. Kanye in an interview with Piers Morgan, who is a British guy, who I guess he's kind of washed up in Britain, because you see in America, if you hear somebody with a British accent, you just assume they're smart. but in Britain they know the difference, and so he's kind of washed up there. But so I guess he just has – I don't know what show he's on. I think he's been kicked out of Britain, as a matter of fact, because of whatever. And so he was talking to Kanye West, and Kanye called Biden an effing retard. And, you know, the funny thing is when Kanye – Ye, when Ye – said that he said his things about Jewish people, about Jewish power, and he said, funny thing is, I can't be anti-Semitic because blacks be Jew. well, anyway, he said he after saying Biden's an effing retard, he says, you know, because like I've been in a mental institution, I could call people retards. Something like that. Anyway, he's the gift that keeps on giving. I'm glad he's just still in the limelight. He says stuff that's weird, but it doesn't matter as long as he gets attention. And he was saying stuff. He was saying it in the context of saying that Biden's a retard for talking about electric cars, but then refusing to meet with Elon Musk, who makes more electric cars than anyone else in America. So you got that. All right. And then I guess finally you got Joe the Biden and John Fetterman showed up in Pittsburgh at some bridge rebuilding today. Fetterman wearing a suit, which he only has one suit and he almost never wears it. And he didn't even actually tie his tie correctly. And he was asked if he liked the bridge, and his illegal immigrant wife intervened and said he's not here to answer questions. He's here to celebrate the bridge. Meanwhile, the Biden gave some comments. How can they not prepare him for this? He finishes his comments after saying something like, you know, this bridge costs $1.3 trillion or something weird. And then he just wanders off in the wrong direction. And then he's standing there as if he's going to shake hands with the invisible man again. And then he gets turned around and he goes another way. Why don't they prepare him for which way he has to go after these events? It's all so surreal and all so bizarre. Welcome to Jew-merica in the current year. And yes, of course, I can't be a National Bugle Radio without me raising that issue. So I want to thank you for indulging me. I didn't want to talk just about Ukraine and Kanye West and all the hoaxes. I wanted a little break from that. So maybe if you didn't switch away already, maybe you enjoyed the break. I hope so. I will be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Oh, what big eyes you have, the kind of eyes that drive horse mad. So just
here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.